This is Advanced Ability Center tape number 6. The title of this lecture is Tech Does Not Equal Management.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. Once again, it's nice to see lots of people. Again, today we'll have a few volunteers that I gave $10 each to say a few nice words about their wins. And actually, they really have been waiting for a platform to give some losses. It could be a whole new thing. There are some recent graduates of some recent courses and some auditing cycles. I have a few words to say about that, and then David, who is now intently trying to think of what he's going to say today, will say a few words. So, Scott, did you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. Hello. You stole my line. As somebody from the medium deep south, I should have said, hi, y'all. Thank you. A few days ago, I was expressing my reaction to one of my wins at the AAC, and I said it felt like coming home after a long trip. They say home is a place where when you go back, they have to let you in. Well, anyway, they let me in. And I just wanted to say that the reason I came home, I'd been helping some other people, and they helped me, and so I was able to come here. I'm going to go back to North Carolina and tell them about all these wins and all this great space, all this terrific staff, and I'm sure they will agree with me that this is their proper terminal. So, thank you. We'll be seeing a lot more of each other because we'll all be coming back home. Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. Not quite. No. I probably am the one from the farthest away here. You see, it went this way. I found Scientology in Hawaii and had my first auditing there. And then I went to Los Angeles to do my HCA course. Then I had to go to East Grinstead to do the briefing course. And then to Alicante to get the rest of the brief. So I've traveled around a bit. And finally, I married the girl, and we settled down in East Grinstead. So I'm here from England, and we're going to have our little group going there right under the nose of certain people. But you know, with all this traveling and all the things that had to happen to bring me together with you, has been worth it is not the term, but thank you for all being here. And I had a win today that was absolutely outstanding, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. I did the briefing course, and then along the line I did class 8 course, and then I did another class 8 course, and then I did a lot of interning and NED courses and that sort of thing. So with it all, I had one hell of a lot of TRs in one way or another. Today, for the first time in all of that long history, I have the most beautiful checkout on TRs you would ever want to have. It made me know that I have my basics in. And boy, that is so great to have absolute certainty that you can audit that PC across from me. Now I'm going on to E-meter drills, and I'll have the same certainty on that. The rest of it's a piece of cake. Thank you very much.
Did anyone else have some words? Sure, good.
Viva Puerto Rico! Well, we'll be going back and doing our thing at the center in Puerto Rico. But what happened today was I saw this chocolate cake. This chocolate cake on top of the water cooler, and I went over it and smelled it. And I look at the note, and the note said, AAC staff. And I didn't feel any separation. I said, great, I'll have a piece. You know, this is terrific. Didn't enter my mind at all. Yeah. And I finally realized it's a coexistence of theta. I said, yeah, that feels great. That's terrific. But that was all I have to say.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Let's welcome David.
Today I want to talk about disillusionment and other such black subjects. One of the reasons, several of the reasons why we started this center have been touched on in earlier talks. Today I want to touch on another reason why we started it. Sometime last year, after I'd left staff and we were kind of keeping our eyes on how things were going on and waiting, like a lot of other people, to see if it was all going to blow over or all going to come right or something like that. And we kept track of various things going on, kept track of various friends of ours and various people to see what was happening and so on. And as I've said before, we didn't notice any signs of the dark clouds rolling away or it lightening up at all. And in fact, things seemed to get heavier. Anyway, amongst the various people that I talked to and that my friends talked to, we discovered that a large number of people were doing what they called holding off. They wanted to get the next auditing or the next training, but they decided to hold off for a while. And I've even talked to several people who'd paid for all their services in advance and could have gone and started right away because it was all fully paid up at an org or somewhere, and yet had decided that they didn't want to do it at the time. One of the reasons one person told me was that when they went for auditing, they wanted to be able to sit down and put their attention on their auditing and on their case and not have to worry about everything else that was going on between sessions, which seemed like a pretty reasonable thing to expect. Anyway, as I said, there were a large number of people who were doing what they called holding off or waiting. And they're going to wait till things came right. And then when everything came right again, then they'd carry on with their auditing or training. And I don't think that's a particularly bad thing to do, because after all, who wants to be interbulated all the time while you're trying to do your course or while you're having auditing? There is, unfortunately, a consequence to that, though.
When a person wants to get some auditing or wants to get some training, whether he's formulated a particular goal or purpose or not, it is a goal or aspiration. He does have a goal to go on to his next step or to get that auditing or to do his next level or whatever it is. And if the person can't get to do it, or if he decides to put off doing it, either way, it tends to be a failed purpose. He decided that he was going to go on and get his grade 4, and maybe he's paid for it. But then he decides, well, I'll hold off on doing that, and I'll do it later when things have gotten different or gotten better. So he has it now on suppress, or on wait. And to that degree, it accumulates bypass charge on it because it's a failed purpose. He has an intention to go in one direction, and at the same time, he's putting the brakes on it or putting a hold or a wait on it. Now, failed purposes, amongst other things, result in a loss of interest. It's a kind of mechanical thing. If you wanted to go to a movie and didn't get to go to it tonight, and you didn't get to go to it tomorrow night, and next week something else came up, eventually, after some time, even though you'd wanted to see that movie, you'd lose interest in that particular movie. It's a mechanical thing. If you don't follow through and carry out a goal or purpose, you tend to lose interest in it. But it's not the same situation as not having been interested in it in the first place. It's a situation where one was interested and did want to do it, then it became a failed purpose, and one not only loses interest in it, but can get into a situation where one doesn't particularly want to think about it anymore. Another aspect of what was going on was what people generally refer to as interbulation. You know, they'd hear things about financial police and so on running around, and they'd hear a story about this, and they'd hear a story about how somebody was being fined $15,000 a day, and somebody else was being declared, and all that. And so the type of communication that a lot of Scientologists were receiving, and I'm talking about the time period in early through middle of last year, most of the communication going on was about bad things that were happening. The last latest disaster was usually the topic of conversation. To some degree, that's still present today, although I don't think quite as much. But during last year, I think that we could safely say that any time any Scientologists bumped into each other, one of the first things in the conversation would be the last latest catastrophes that had either happened to them or that they'd heard about happening to somebody else. And so basically, there was a tremendous amount of bad news being discussed. In fact, I don't know of any period in Scientology where there was so much catastrophe and bad news going on all at the same time. That in itself, while it might be interesting from the point of view of listening to horror stories, and horror stories do have some appeal, but it tends to wear out. You can only, go see Dracula for so many times. Anyway, because of that, a lot of people, a lot of Scientologists, started to build up some bypass charge on the subject of interbulation, and sooner or later, it can get to the point where you just do not want to hear anything more about it, or you just don't want to hear any more bad news or any more interbulation. It's like, it's enough is enough. And because of that, quite a few people that I talked to didn't want to talk about Scientology or what was going on anymore, didn't want to hear about it anymore. which in itself is a type of loss of interest too. It's an inversion of interest. It's a, I don't want to hear any more of this stuff, or don't want any more of it to go on, or whatever. So because of failed purposes, and also because of bad news or in turbulation, you have a situation going on of various Scientologists deciding that, either deciding or simply coming to a point where, A, they were losing interest in their own auditing and training, and B, they were becoming less receptive to communication or information on the subject, kind of a shutting down of not wanting to know anymore or not wanting to hear anymore. And there are other factors of a similar nature, all of which result in a person doing what has often been referred to as becoming inactive or dropping off lines. And that's happened to a large number of people. currently, I would make a guess that probably about 80% of Scientologists are in the frame of mind where they are waiting or holding off for whatever reason, usually for several reasons, but are in this frame of mind where they've decided they're just going to wait and hold off, they're not going to do anything more at the moment. They'll wait till it cools down, or they'll wait till it, or whatever. So that's a, I think it's probably around that percentage, at a guess. The result of that is that people start becoming inactive, become more and more inactive, and eventually either lose interest in the subject altogether, or they start drifting off, trying various other things or various other ways to improve themselves. And I don't know how many people you've run into like this, but just in the last week, for example, I've heard of half a dozen long-term Scientologists that have decided, either wittingly or unwittingly, decided that they would never ever get any auditing again. Let me tell you how I heard about some of these. One of them is a lady who lives in another city from here, and she actually wrote a letter in talking about one of the promo pieces that we'd sent out from the AAC. It was the one we sent out just before Christmas that had several success stories in it. And she'd received that promo piece and read it, and she started reading the success stories, and she hadn't particularly decided this, but she'd actually ended up in the frame of mind whereby she considered that she would probably never have any more auditing again, at least for this lifetime. And as I say, it wasn't particularly a conscious decision that she'd made, it was just that she'd sort of ended up in the frame of mind that A, the prices were too high, B, there was too much in turbulation, and so on, and she'd lost interest and kind of given up and just decided she wouldn't have any more auditing, or it was unlikely that she would. Anyway, she read these success stories in this promo piece, and while she was reading the success stories, she suddenly thought, it suddenly occurred to her that she could have auditing again, that it would be possible for her to come to the AAC and get auditing. And she wrote a letter about it because she started crying when she realized that and realized how much of a loss, how much of a suppressed loss it was to her that she couldn't, that she'd gotten into the frame of mind whereby it seemed like she couldn't get any more auditing. I mentioned failed purposes, and I mentioned, you know, too much relay of turbulation and bad news. Another factor, of course, is the prices, in that they basically ran a can't have on a lot of people. From a lot of people's point of view, it wasn't so much the amount of the prices or whether they were going up or not or whatever, it was just that they were so far out of range that it meant a can't have. And basically that's the worst aspect of too high prices, is it runs a can't have. Can't have auditing, can't have training, can't have the tech, runs can't have on people. And of course the same result occurs when somebody can't have the tech. They tend to build up bypass charge on not being able to have it, and you know the old philosophical point about if you can't have something, then you could try to convince yourself that you didn't want it in the first place, because then you wouldn't feel so bad about not being able to have it. So anyway, going back to one of the reasons why we decided to start the center was that we noticed that a large number of people were getting into this frame of mind whereby they weren't applying the tech and they weren't interested in getting more of the tech. They were losing interest in that. People were dropping out of Scientology and deciding that either they were giving up for this lifetime or they were just kind of giving up on it. And I considered that that would be a very disastrous thing to be occurring, largely because if a lot of people kind of gave up on that, there wouldn't be any auditing and training going on, or very little of it going on. And even if at some point later we tried to get it going again, there would be a tremendous amount of inertia to overcome all the people that had gotten into a stopped frame of mind on the subject. So it seemed necessary to get it started right away and make auditing and training and the tech available so that it could be kept going and kept alive, and so that it wouldn't all grind to a stop. Because I think it's quite important that people don't end up in the frame of mind or in the attitude that, for whatever reason, that they can't have the tech. One of the other aspects of this is that over the years, the tech has tended to be equated with various other things, such as the organization itself. So people have tended to think that the tech and the organization were the same thing, or the tech and the management were the same thing. Not because they thought they were, but because they just tend to get collapsed together. And also when you see a whole horrendous long list of declares coming out one after another, it tends to collapse it together with the tech. And one of the things that was occurring to a lot of people, and it's of course a fairly valid point to think about, was a lot of people started questioning the validity of the tech itself. I've heard people making statements like, well, if Scientology works, how could this all have happened? And it is a valid point of questioning. I got concerned about it myself. Anyway, I think that the reason for that is that the tech is not the same thing as the management. And the tech is not the same thing as an individual or a personality or any particular group of people. One has to separate the tech out from things which it isn't. Now, if I was to say to you, well, obviously, the tech isn't the same thing as the current management, I'm sure a lot of people would say, yeah, that's obvious. But it can be quite easy to make the assumption or to make the identity think of the tech is the same thing as the organization, or it's the same thing as the church or whatever. And it so happens, and it's a fortunate thing, that they're actually quite separate and different things. In the past I've mentioned the fact that when a group sets out to achieve certain goals, and then later if the group changes its purpose and its direction and ceases to support the same aims and goals that it started with, that one has to differentiate and decide what it is that one subscribed to. You know, did I subscribe to these particular people who are in this group, or did I subscribe to the aims and purposes that they represented? And it makes it easier for one to see what one should do. One should follow the aims and purposes that one subscribed to. And similarly, with regard to the tech stands on its own And it does work. And the mere fact that an organizational structure turned out to be unworkable only appears to invalidate the workability of the tech if one doesn't realize that that organization and the tech are actually two separate things. Auditing, for example, works whether you have an organizational structure there or not. And if you come to think of it, the form, say, for example, the form of a session and rudiments and various things like that, it wouldn't really matter what type of org board or what administrative setup you have. It doesn't influence the pattern in the session. And, of course, much more basically, it doesn't change the ARC triangle in any way. It's still the ARC triangle. I think that perhaps some people had the idea that if they implemented certain policies organizationally, that it might change the ARC triangle. But fortunately, it doesn't. Anyway, so therefore, I feel that it's very important, not only that we, but also that you and various other people ensure that Scientologists are informed that A, the tech is available and within their reach, and that it is doable and so on, to make it real that they can continue on and accomplish their purposes and they can have it, so that they don't lose hope and become disillusioned or disinterested in it. And that's been one of the most rewarding things that we've seen since we've had the Advanced Ability Center going, is Scientologists coming in, like the lady who spoke last week, Mary, who said that she had actually ended up with the idea that she wouldn't ever be able to get any more auditing again this lifetime. And now it was possible, not only was it possible, but she'd also completed the next level and was already started on the one after that. So that's my little dissertation about disillusionment and interbulation and so on. And the final note on it is, of course, that now that we've looked at these things, hope and help and happiness and so on are once again possible. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks to our wonderful impromptu speakers, and thanks for coming very much. Bye.